Good evening, everybody. Thank you. Christmas, for some people, it's an opportunity to show off their silly jumpers, isn't it? Look around you. The number of silly jumpers. How many of you are wearing a silly jumpers? Can't even see silly jumpers. I'm sure as I saw some of you walking in with some really, really silly jumpers. How did wearing silly jumpers become an acceptable thing? Think about it. Who was the first person who wore a silly jumper and thought, oh, that's a fantastic idea, isn't it? Me? No, it's not me. It somehow has become acceptable, isn't it? Other things we do in Christmas, isn't it? For example, minced pie. Yeah? A few years ago, I ate minced pie for the first time. And I genuinely thought it was shredded beef in a pie. Only during Christmas do we behave like this. Turkey, tinsel, Tia Maria. You know, these are the kind of things we do over Christmas. There's nothing like a proper English Christmas dinner, is there? According to research done by students of the Liverpool University, according to them, the strains of cooking the Christmas dinner sees an average British person start their first alcoholic drink at 10:48 a.m. And that is not a joke. That is a real proper research. Anyway, thinking of big Christmas dinner, has anyone here seen the new Tesco's advert that the Tesco's have produced in 2017? Yes, I hear. It's all about the big Christmas dinner. Now, it came out in November and there was an outcry. I was on BBC Kent Radio. No worry, I'm not that famous to go on BBC proper. I only went on BBC Kent a few weeks ago and giving my perspective on it. One person on the programs called in to say, how dare they include Muslims in a Christmas advert? He said, Christmas is a good old Christian British festival. Of course, he was displaying his utter ignorance to think that Christmas is a British festival. Others argued, Tesco's don't do halal meat. Huh? How dare you? How dare you? Tesco's don't do halal meat. So why are they including Muslims in that in the first place? Still others argue this is political correctness gone too far. If you haven't seen the Christmas advert, I want you to watch it. It is only 1 minute long.
What's for dinner?
Have a guess.
Oh.
You did take the giblets out.
Giblets.
Has everyone got a drink?
Have you been basting it, Caroline?
Yes, I have.
Are you sure?
It looks all right to me, I think.
This is what it should look like.
Will you just get out of my kitchen, all of you?
Snow is falling all around me. Children play.
Thank you so much.
It's the season. And understanding. Merry Christmas.
Can you have some ketchup?
No.
Merry Christmas.
Dad, do you want a turkey sandwich?
Oh, go on in.
However you do Christmas, we've got a turkey for you. Everyone's welcome at Tesco.
I'm not sure if you've noticed, Tesco's used 80 people from different walks of life in that 60 seconds to make the point that everybody is welcome over Christmas. Well, you might not have seen it, so let me show you a few people. Of course, you've got the very trendy tattooed dad with his wife and his teenage son. I can imagine his Christmas is brilliant. You have a couple, presumably in a same-sex partnership, with, I presume, their adopted newborn baby. You've got stressed Caroline. Is there any stressed Carolines here? My family has a dozen of them. You know, stressed Caroline, stressed about everything. So there we go. You've got stressed Caroline in the picture. You've got this guy who can't cook inside the house. And so he's cooking outside the house. What a silly man. Here you have the cheeky chap. He's nicking potatoes while cooking it. I know some of you are thinking, that's exactly what I do. You've got this guy nicking potatoes. You've got, of course, a young family with four children. Come on. Who would be ludicrous to have four young children? Anyway, they are apparently included too. You've got these Muslim sisters who are actually celebrating Christmas, which of course was the controversy for some people. You've got the funny auntie. You know the funny aunties, don't you? You are one of them, some of you. Anyway, you've got a funny auntie there. And of course, you've got the Sikh man celebrating Christmas with his wider family with a drink or two or three in that case. You've got, of course, the family with dual heritage, with, of course, two sides of the family getting together for Christmas. And you've got, of course, I presume, a single dad with his daughter going for another round of turkey. And of course, the point that Tesco's are saying is everybody is welcome. Now, so as I was participating in this debate on BBC, I couldn't help but think of the original story. The original story seemed to have a disproportionate number of outsiders in it. Think about it. I want to challenge you this evening for you to read the original script. There are disproportionate number of outsiders in the original script. Let me give you a couple of examples. The original script actually says shepherds were included. They were ritually unclean because of their close contact with animals. They were unwashed, and because they were unwashed, they smell. Shepherds were outsiders, they were isolated, they were a fringe community on the edge of a society. Some scholars say some towns did not let shepherds into their towns and cities. But listen carefully. The Bible says the glory of God shone around them. The glory of God shone around them. These outsiders. This is a shocker. This is a shocker. Is it possible for the glory of God to be shown around these stinky outsiders? Is it possible for God to be with these outsiders? Somehow the shepherds get included in the original Christmas story. Let me give you another example. The original script says wise men from the east were included. These foreigners were as popular as they are now in many parts of the world. The gospel writers seem to go through an unusual lengths with a lot of effort to make an important point. And listen carefully. This is what the important point the gospel writers are saying. These outsiders knew something that the insiders hadn't yet worked out. These outsiders knew something that the insiders still did not know. What was that? What did the wise men bring? The wise men brought gold. He bought gold. Gold in the Bible is a symbol of a king. Somehow these outsiders, these foreigners knew that this baby was going to be a king. And of course, the original script says he was the King of Kings and he was the Lord of Lords. The insiders were still working that out, but the outsiders knew it. What else did the wise men bring? Frankincense. Frankincense in the Bible is a symbol of prayer. So when they were bringing frankincense to Jesus, they were bringing their prayers to Jesus. These foreigners knew somehow this fragile little baby is somebody who they can bring their prayers to. Where do you go when life gets tough? Some people go shopping. Where do we go when life gets difficult? Where do we go with the possible health problems? Where do we go with our financial worries? Where do we go with our anxiety and frustration and anger? Where do we turn? Whether you call yourself someone with faith or not, Christians, like these foreigners, believe God hears our prayers. He understands the cries of our hearts, and He understands the anger. He understands the worries. He understands the fears. Therefore, we can bring our frankincense in the form of prayer to this little baby boy. Christians believe when we turn to God in prayer, He is there just as He is, listening to our whispers and our tears and our cries. The third symbol is that of what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What is the point of bringing myrrh to a little baby? What is it? What would a child do with myrrh? Myrrh in the Bible is a symbol of death. Now, these foreigners knew something, didn't they? These foreigners knew there's some connection with death with this little boy who was born. Now, what we do know as a way of looking back into history is that this baby did not just remain a baby. I can only imagine he grew up. He learned to wrestle with dad. He might have scraped his knees. He must have had all the fun that a boys want to have. I can imagine he grew taller and things started changing, like the complexion and the sound of his voice. There was, of course, work to be done as a carpenter's son. All the neighbors, I can imagine, said, "He's such a fine boy." But this boy became a man. Love made him laugh. Death made him cry, but the life that he lived and the death that he died, he showed us heaven with his hands and a star. We know that story, but how did these foreigners know there was a connection between myrrh, which is a symbol of death, and here, before all of that happened, this foreigners knew that this baby would redefine their lives as well. Somehow, these foreigners with deep insight become part of our story. There was a little boy who wrote to Santa. He said, "Dear Santa, there are three boys who live in our house. There is Peter, who is 4. There is David, who is 5. And there is John, who is 8. Peter is good some of the time. David is good most of the time. John is good all the time. I am John." Whether you are good all the time, whether you are good some of the time, or whether you are not that good most of the time, the narrative of Christmas is a narrative that says you and I are included. At the very heart of the Christmas story is the truth that God is with us. And Christianity is an invitation that says we have a role to play in the story. And we might reach out and accept that role for ourselves. And that will enable us to play our part more authentically this Christmas. So whether you consider yourself as an outsider or as an insider, the heart of the Christmas script is the truth that God is with us. The word "with," I suggest to us at St. Mark's, is, I think, one of the most important words as we seek to feed 5,000 people in 2018. These words, these three words, God with us, expresses the character of God. These three words tell us the work of the Holy Spirit. These three words tell us about who Jesus is. These three words are the Christian testimony about the past. They are the witnesses about the present. And there is that hope for the future because we hold on to the truth that God is with us. Each word in that line offers itself as the heart of the gospel. God with us. The thing is, God isn't a thing. God isn't an achievement. God isn't an edifice. He is not a piece of technology or an impressive vision or a dazzling light or even a blazing fire. God is a relationship. God is with us. God is a relationship of persons so wonderfully shaped towards each other, so wondrously with one another. Somehow the outsiders and the insiders are invited and drawn in and included. This is the work of grace. So I invite you this Christmas, whether you think of yourself as an outsider or an insider, to seek Jesus this Christmas. And when you seek him, you will find, because God is for us. And before he is for us, he is with us. Seek him. Seek him with your heart.